But we are thankful that the Lord has blessed us and returned us again to this place, and He's been merciful to us. And since we last left and our last were gathered together, and so we have much to be thankful unto the Lord for. And one of the great privileges is coming together even today on a special day that the Lord has set apart. It's, all of them are His days, but He has aligned some special days, and this is a special day because we get to come into His presence, and in a special way as His church, and we should be mindful of Him here today. May He give us grace to be mindful of Him. He is what this is all about, and He is what we all should be about, and all our lives should be focused upon Him. We've been talking on Sunday morning some about that verse, that phrase that Paul gave us, for him to live as Christ, and it's true, that is outwardly, we should live where people see Christ in us, but inwardly, we should be living unto Christ. Everything about us, our whole life's intent, intentions, everything, all our drive should be Christ. And I know that's so hard to put in practice, but may the Lord grow us up, that true, that we would become this perfect man that we've been talking about, and in the sense that He has given us an example to walk. He was ever about His Father's business, and we saw that even from an adolescent stage last week, and may the same be said. May it be so in our lives. May it be so. For us to live is Christ. I do want to resume our study this morning, the study that we have been dealing with in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just begun it, but we've learned unsearchable truths, and really truths that the whole world, are looking all over to find, but they're in places that they refuse to look, and that is in God's Word, in a place they refuse to believe, and that is the Word of God. So let us be so thankful that the Lord has not only given us His Word, but His Spirit that tells us that this Word is true and illuminates our heart to believe it, gives us faith to believe it. But before we begin this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help that He might teach us from His Word, He might lead us in His truth. Well, so far in this study, we've seen a few snapshots of the life of Christ. We've seen a snapshot of the life of the infancy of Christ. What is it that we saw so plainly about the infant Christ, or His example before us that was displayed before us, even in His infancy? We saw something very important, that His life was subject to the law of God. Yes, His parents, we all know, understand it as an infant. Surely it was His parents, as they were raising Him, that their lives were subject to the law. But this was no mistake. The Lord led them in this direction. And also we saw that their life was arranged around the Word of God. Two essential principles for us to walk as the perfect man, to walk in the steps of Christ. Then we saw the brief snapshot of the adolescent Christ, and we saw something for all of us there. As parents, we can see how to rear our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And how is that? That their lives be arranged, be subject unto the law of God, that their lives be arranged around the Word of God. As children, or some that don't like to be called children anymore, young people, we saw that your best life, your ultimate life, the ultimate life for an adolescent is to be subject unto your parents, just as Christ gave you that example. And then thirdly, we saw the church. We understood by the shadow that was drawn there for us in the life of Christ, that Christ can be found in His Father's house. And we saw in the New Testament, the Lord's church is God's house. Church, we should be aware that if we are seeking the Lord, He can be found. Well, He should be able to be found here in His church. That doesn't necessarily mean any organization with church in the name, but I'm talking about in His church. He can be found there. We should expect to find Him there. and we should be about just as he was his father's business. We as the Lord's church are the only organization that have been authorized and commanded to be about the Lord's business in this earth. So some great things we saw, and just snapshots really of the life of Christ. Today, I want to, it's a little different study, and I want us to take a look at the life of a man who was not perfect, not in the sense that Christ was perfect, but a man of great importance in the life of Christ. We need to understand something. This man we should learn about, we should understand some things about him if we are to rightly understand the next aspect of Christ's life, and that will be his adult life, and in that we see the life, his life in his public ministry. So that man is John the Baptist. Often we read about John the Baptist and we just kind of step right over him. But anything that is written in God's Word is important. And anything that is written in all four of the Gospels of God's Word, we need to pay attention to. There's a reason it was recorded in all four. So I want us to, we're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture this morning, so I hope you have your Scripture fingers with you. Hope you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, there's probably one in front of you in the pew. Let's begin in Luke 1. Luke 1. We see great details in Dr. Luke's writing. He writes like a doctor. He was a doctor and an educated man, and we find much detail in his writing concerning the life of Christ and also the life of this man, John the Baptist. So in Luke 1, let's begin in verse 1 to understand some of the things here about John the Baptist, this man John the Baptist. Chapter 1, verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth an order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." That's a preface for what we're about to read. What we're about to read is true, is what he's saying. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless." That sounds like their lives were subject to the law of the Lord, and their life was arranged around God's word, doesn't it? "And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." That was his job. "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without," or outside, "at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." So he was in the temple, and he was at the altar of incense doing his job. "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or that is Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am speaking to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." Wow. God has sent Gabriel himself to this man. I would say he had a pretty important message to give Zacharias. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. As his work was done, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. A barren woman in that time had much reproach. It was a shame that a woman couldn't bear children. That's what she's talking about here. The Lord has taken that reproach away. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, same angel now, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the account goes on that we've already read. Skip over to verse 36, and I don't do this to make any less of the scriptures we're skipping, but for time's sake and to stay on subject, on the subject of John the Baptist, let's do this. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the angel is talking to Mary, behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. So Mary found this out, and she also found out that she was going to be with child, and she went to the place where Elizabeth was. And it came to pass in verse 41 that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb. The baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. All right. Then Mary goes on and gives quite a discourse, a prayer of praise unto the Lord. Skip over to verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 days and returned to her own house. Not 3 days, 3 months. And returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, and his mother answered and said, No, or not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Now listen closely to what he prophesies here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. The prophets have been talking about this since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his, God's, holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him, God, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called, notice, the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew, John, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So we see John, a few things about John here. Let's review a minute. John was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias. His parents, and therefore he, would have been of the tribe of Levi. At that time, at the time of his birth, Zacharias was fulfilling his fulfillment, serving in the temple as one of the priests. It's significant that he came from the tribe of Levi, that John came from the tribe of Levi. Also, the conception of John was also miraculous. Elizabeth was barren, and they were stricken with age. It was a miraculous birth, and it also was accompanied by an angelic visit, that being of Gabriel himself. Third, Elizabeth and Zacharias were relatives of Joseph and Mary. John and Jesus were also thereby related, probably cousins. Actually, the word it says here, either here or in another place, cousins is actually relatives, but they were of some kin. John was 6 months older than Jesus. John also was named by God himself. Did you catch that? The name John, and this is significant, the name John, it means Jehovah has graced, or Jehovah is a gracious giver. Really, it is quite a picture that is drawn for us here by the Lord. These people, they were Levites. They were people of the law. But this Levite would introduce, this man of the law would introduce grace himself. You know, it's still the same way. The law, God still uses the law to introduce his grace. You remember also John said later, he said, I must decrease and Christ must increase. That's significant. That's the same thing. Same thing could be said about the law and grace. Also, John was born with a special purpose. As his father said, he was to be the prophet of the highest in verse 76. And the thing is, the fulfillment of this great prophetic office was a little different than many might suppose, wasn't it? For one thing, it was recorded. It is recorded in every gospel. But you'll notice in verse 80 there, we read that the child waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts. In the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. The fulfillment of his prophetic office was, let's just put it like this. The Lord arranged it where he would be noticed. He would be noticed. Let's read. I don't know if we'll have time to read the whole of every account, but let's try to get through some of them. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 2, we'll get a glimpse of this office, of how John fulfilled it. And this was the way that God ordained it to be fulfilled. It said, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest and the word of being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above, that he shut up John in the prison. Flip over to Mark 1. Mark 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice where it starts. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Basically, the same account is given in the other two Gospels, in Matthew 3 and in John 1. And for time's sake, we won't look at each one. We're going to go see part of one of them, at least, anyway. But it's obvious that John was set apart in a special way to be a witness of Christ. Now, understand, the those that he called vipers and hypocrites here, he was talking to the Pharisees that come out to see what was going on, because they had their own, if you will, baptisms. It was at the temple. You remember there was a cleansing pool there, and there were cleansing, or what they would call purifying, going on there. But this was set apart from all that. Matter of fact, it was out in the wilderness. It wasn't done by this prim and proper man. It was done by a man who preached hellfire and brimstone, if you will. He did. He preached and he witnessed of the Messiah that was coming. This ministry, he was set apart to be a witness of Christ, kind of like, I was trying to think of the words for it, he was Christ's special heralder, if you will. He would formally introduce the Lord Jesus Christ unto the world. That was one of his offices, one of his jobs. The prophecy of that is given in Isaiah 40. Look at that real quick. Isaiah chapter 40. We saw part of it here as we've read it, but it's actually more than what is actually quoted in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Notice this, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. John, he would go before the Lord, and make preparation for him. He prepared some of the preparation. Obviously, a lot of this was done in preparing the people that the Messiah is coming. But also, he prepared the material for the Lord's church. He didn't build the Lord's church. Remember, Christ said, "I will build my church." But he prepared the materials for it. You know, I was thinking about this, and I couldn't, for time's sake and study's sake, I couldn't draw it out. But I believe this is actually pictured in David and Solomon. Remember, David prepared the building for the temple, the sticks, if you will, the wood, the gold, all the furnishings. He prepared it, but it wasn't until Solomon came that it was built. Well, what is typified in Solomon? The king, the kingdom, the great kingdom is typified in him. And this is significant here. We have a picture of that here in this man, John the Baptist. The Lord's first disciples, his first church members, were followers of John. And in this special purpose, and in this was a God-ordained purpose now, in this special purpose, God was called and authorized by God, or John was called and authorized by God to baptize believers, and they would be members of the Lord's church. But you know, I don't believe that John ever was. I know there's some different beliefs about this, but he made mention of something that alludes to this, actually, in John chapter 3. I think there's reasons for this, and we'll see one of them in a moment, that it does not seem that he was a member of the Lord's church. Notice what he says in John 3 and verse 27. Basically, his followers were confused. Before their eyes, they were seeing Christ take over this ministry. And they come to John and said, you know, what's going on, John? This doesn't look like it. Christ is that one that you were with, they said, that he baptized back over there. He said, it looks like he's taking your ministry over. And John said this in John 3 and 27. It said, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." What's he talking about there? He's talking about authority. He's talking about authority. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." Now notice what he says. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is in the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, that no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." He's talking about Christ there. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." But notice that. He said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," and then he said, "But the friend of the groom rejoices." See, he was the friend of the groom. He was, I guess you could see it in our custom. He's the best. He was the best man, if you will. So he's not part of the bride, but he is the friend of the bridegroom. Even here, he clarifies that. So here we see the ministry of John. He was the prophet of the highest, the introducer of Christ, the preparation maker. He was gathering materials for the Lord's church. He is the friend of the bridegroom. See something else that was fulfilled in John the Baptist in Malachi 4. Flip back just past Matthew, and you'll land in Malachi in the last chapter. Malachi 4. Says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name," now remember, this Malachi was a prophet to the nation of Israel, "unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now these words were given by the prophet Malachi. They were given, and then there was 400 years of silence, that no revelation of God was given until the revelation of Christ. And we see the first part of that in Matthew. From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years were there that the nation of Israel heard nothing. And in that time, Israel had become all but enslaved by the Roman government. They were waiting on this prophesied one to come to free them. They were waiting on him. The people waited for Elijah, because when they saw Elijah, they knew the Messiah was right behind him. They waited for the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now this prophecy, like all, I'll say most, but I think it's all, it has a near-reaching effect and a far-reaching effect. And we see that in most prophecies. But you know what? Even unto this day, I mean today, in the Passover feast, the Jews, they set a place for Elijah. They're still waiting. They're still waiting for it to come. They know that Elijah must come before the Messiah, because he will prepare the way for the Messiah. But did you catch what Gabriel... Well, first, did you see this part here? I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Did you hear what Gabriel said to Zacharias in Luke 1? Look back there real quick again. Luke 1:16. These are the words of Gabriel to Zacharias. And many of the children of Israel shall he, who? John, turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to what? Turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Does that sound familiar? That's the same words. The very same words of the prophet Malachi. Now, some might refer to John the Baptist's word in the book of John. Look at that, John 1. John 1 and verse 20. These are the words of John the Baptist. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Well, what does that mean? Is that a contradiction to Scripture? No. In his person, surely he wasn't Elijah. He bore the spirit of Elijah, is what it said. But even if we weren't able to grasp that, look at the words of Christ himself in Matthew 1. Matthew 1 and verse 10. Matthew 11. Let's try Matthew 11. I'm grasping for straws. Maybe that's right. Matthew 11 and verse 10. Here it is. These are the words of Christ. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, he's speaking of John the Baptist, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, notice what it says. If you will receive it, this is Elias, Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 13. That's what I got there. No, that's right. So what did Christ say about John the Baptist? He was Elijah. He fulfilled, let's put it like this. He fulfilled at least the near reaching of prophecy of Elijah coming before the Messiah. He fulfilled that prophecy. Elijah in the person of John the Baptist has come. The near reaching fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi has been fulfilled. And when he came, the Christ of God himself, the Holy Messiah, came shortly after him. He came. Let me say it to you like John said it. Look at Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He is God's Messiah. Now he's going to fulfill the far-reaching prophecy of Malachi when he comes in his glory, when he comes and touches the earth in his second advent. He's going to fulfill that then. And actually, I believe he will send Elijah to the earth then. I don't understand all of that, but I know he can fulfill it if he desires. So, but the near-reaching prophecy was fulfilled in John. John himself prophesied that he did, as he had prophesied, he did indeed decrease. The Lord took him home by the way of Herod's sword. So again, we see the ministry of John. He was the prophet of the highest, the introducer of Christ, the preparation maker, the gathering. He gathered materials for the Lord's house. He was the friend of the bridegroom. He bore the spirit of Elijah. And we can even say he was a martyr for the sake of Christ. He was. He preached God's word and the man killed him for it. And also he was the last man of the law. When he died, the old covenant was closed. Did you catch that, what it said in verse 13? Christ said, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Until John. As I was thinking about that, that's something very deep to try to get a hold of. How is it that the old covenant closed and the new covenant in actuality spanned from eternity to eternity, but it was revealed in Christ. But we can see that it did. He was the last man of the law. Think about this though. We need to understand at least a little bit what we can understand, the glory of what it means to be included in the new covenant. No doubt John was a great man. If you study his life, what the accounts that we have of it, his faithfulness was nearly unparalleled as far as men are concerned. But notice verse 11 again. He said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." But that's not all he says. "Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, we have been blessed with positional blessings that exceed those of the Baptist himself. We have been. And, you know, so many people in our day think that this church thing is so insignificant. But I want to tell you something. The best man, to be the best man, is great. But does that even get close to being the bride of the groom? Does it even get close? I believe John the Baptist is going to have a special place in glory. I don't know that for sure, but I believe he is. His house is going to be on Glory Street, if you will. But we, the bride, are going to live in the palace of the king himself. We're his. I don't say that to stir up our pride, because it shouldn't. It should stir up our praise to a God who has blessed us so greatly. We have nothing that we have not received of the free grace of God. But we have this blessing, as great as John the Baptist was and is. The Lord said, He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I believe that it is important to understand who John the Baptist was. We should understand that by the revelation that is given us of Lord from the Lord. It's important to understand that, to know who Christ is, to understand his life and to understand his ministry as he began to build his church, and to be able to walk in the paths that he set before us through his footsteps. That's the reason I wanted to take today and just look at some things about John the Baptist. It's important that we know about him. He was the great introducer of Christ, and the Lord arranged his life in such a way. I mean, you just couldn't hardly miss him. Yeah, he was out in the desert, but everybody knew about him. I mean, he'd draw the Pharisees, the Sadducees out there to see what in the world was going on out there. Well, he was preparing the way for Christ. He bore the spirit of Elijah, fulfilled the prophecy. They'd waited over 400 years. But just as the Lord promised, he came. Many, many have not seen, do not know it, do not believe it. They've not been enlightened by the Spirit of God to realize that the Messiah has come. Yes, he's coming again, but he has come. He has come as the Savior of his people. When he comes again, he's going to be the judge. He has come. Today is the day of salvation. That's the reason the Bible makes it so clear that today is the day of salvation. To believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today without delay. He has come. There's no need to wait any longer. Believe upon him, it says, and thou shalt be saved. John had a part in heralding those great truths, and we are thankful for the revelation we have of that. We're thankful for how God does fulfill all of his promises, and we hope that he will lead us in his word and his truth this morning.